Hi, everyone. This is Bob.
And this is Dennis.
You're listening to a show on the Radio Nostalgia Network,
which is also a member of the new Blueberry Network
at blueberry.com. The Radio Nostalgia Network, where the oldies are still young.
Back in your own backyard.
Now, a word from our sponsor.
Hello everyone, this is Dennis with Radio Nostalgia Network, and we have a sponsor. It's GoToMeeting. Getting to and from meetings, as you know, can be a waste of time and money. Driving 2 hours for a 1 hour meeting, flying to headquarters for a half day training session. This doesn't make sense. Save time and money by meeting online with GoToMeeting. With GoToMeeting, invite people to meet online. During your call, they see your computer screen on their monitor. Meet as long as you want, as often as you need, for one flat rate. So try GoToMeeting for 45 days, no credit card required. Just visit GoToMeeting.com and type in the promo code PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com and type in PODCAST. We get credit every time that's done, and you will benefit. And we will benefit as a network. So try GoToMeeting free today. No credit card needed. Now this is important because it helps support the Radio Nostalgia Network and our great programming. Thank you very much.
Let's now join our featured presentation.
All fans. The
Hi everybody, I'm Warren Hughes, and welcome to Thanks for the Memories. Here's Jack Armstrong from December 17th, 1940.
Jack Armstrong,
the all-American boy.
Wave the flag for us and high, boys. Show them how we stand. Ever shall our team be champions. Known throughout the land.
We, these breakfast of champions, bring you the thrilling adventures of Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. Now, I want you to pay careful attention to what I'm going to say, because I'm warning you, it sounds almost too good to be true. Listen. Do you know you can build up a top-notch stamp collection? That's right. A collection of 39 different stamps just by eating Wheaties for breakfast? Well, you can. And you want to know how? Then suppose you get yourself a package of Wheaties right away. A big orange and blue package of those tasty flakes of real whole wheat. Now turn that Wheaties package around so you're looking at the back of it. And what do you see? Well, right on that Wheaties package, you'll find three of the dandiest stamps a fellow or girl could ask for. Big, handsome stamps printed in two colors right on the package, showing pictures of some of the greatest champion athletes of our time. That's right. You're looking at three of the new, exciting series of Wheaties Champ Stamps. And once you start saving these Champ Stamps, I know you won't rest until you've got the whole set of 39 stamps in your collection. Why, just take Champ Stamp Set number 15, for example. All on the back of one package of Wheaties. You get a big, colorful stamp featuring Bob Feller, the famous baseball star of the Cleveland Indians. Another stamp featuring Bernie Bierman, head coach of the Minnesota Gophers football team. And another bearing the picture of Jesse McLeod, stewardess of Northwest Airlines. Yes, sir. All three of these swell Champ stamps are yours on the back of just one Wheaties package. And you can get 36 more Champ stamps just as easy, three with every package of Wheaties that you buy. Not only that, but with every Champ stamp, you'll find printed a special thumbnail biography of the sports personality appearing on the stamp, all about the records he holds and a lot of valuable dope on his career in sports. So you'd better get on the ball right now. Start your own personal collection of Champ stamps today. I know Mother will be glad to get you some Wheaties. You'll like those crunchy flakes for the champion flavor, and you'll like Champ stamps, too. And now, Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. Jack Armstrong, Billy, Betty, and Uncle Jim are in the country of the headhunters. They have managed to prevent the international adventurer, Dr. Chapatto, from stealing the chart and ring which they need to locate a valuable quantity of lost uranium and have left Chapatto and his gang in an abandoned gold mine. They are now approaching the Igorot village of Montauk, high up in the mountains of the Philippines, in search of a sergeant of the Philippine Constabulary who has information on the missing Professor Loring. The Filipino Michelle is with them. And now, as they approach the little village, they hear a strange rhythmic chant in the distance. Listen.
Listen to that chant, Uncle Jim. What do you suppose it can mean?
I don't know, Jack. Certainly sounds eerie, doesn't it?
Gosh, it sends shivers all up and down my spine just to listen to it.
Isn't the chant that's so scary, Billy? It's the beat of the tom-tom. Why, you might think we were in an African jungle instead of the Philippines.
We might be safer in an African jungle at that, Betty. Remember, this is the country of the headhunters.
To listen to you talk, Billy, one might think that we expected the headhunter to jump at us from every bush. Actually, headhunting has been pretty well stamped out.
But we know that some of the headhunters are still active, Uncle Jim. That's why the constabulary force has been seen up here.
That's right, Betty. But you won't find fierce tribes here among the villages. They are up in those mountains to the northwest of here.
I'm glad to know that, Uncle Jim. When I listen to that chant and the tom-tom beating away, I can almost believe that this whole village is getting ready to go on a headhunting expedition.
Maybe Michelle can tell us what the chant and the tom-tom mean. How about it, Michelle?
Me not like it, Senor Pericles. That tom-tom mean war dance.
A war dance?
That right. You know that war dance.
But it's just a ceremony, isn't it, Michelle? I mean, the Igorots of the village aren't actually planning to go on the warpath.
Who knows?
Silver and catfish, Uncle Jim. Maybe there are more headhunters in the village than you think.
We'll soon find out, Billy.
I'd rather be with the headhunters than with Chapatto and Lazaro and Blackbeard. Do you think they'll still try and get the chart and ring from us, Uncle Jim?
They won't try for a while, Betty. They're still in that abandoned gold mine.
But they may have come out by this time.
Look, Uncle Jim. This path is broadening out. Why, we're almost to the village.
Oh, what funny square shacks they live in. And they're built on posts, too. Why, all the houses in the Philippines seem to be built on posts.
That's right, Billy. They build them on posts on the river to keep their boats under them. In the lowlands, they build them on posts to keep them cool. Up here in the mountains, they build them on posts to make it harder for their enemies to surprise them at night.
Look, Uncle Jim, there's a clearing in the middle of the village. And there is a war dance going on. I can see them.
Gee, humping crickets. All the fighting men in the village must be there.
Why, it's like the war dance of the American Indians. They're going round and round in a circle.
I can see the tom-tom, or anyway, some kind of a drum. It's in the middle of the circle. Look at the Igorot is beating it. He's dressed like an evil spirit or something.
That may be just a ceremony, but they look awful businesslike to me.
And they certainly look ferocious. They all have spears and shields. And look, they're jabbing the spears at the ground as they march around.
Look at them, Michelle. Can you tell whether it's just a ceremony or whether they mean business?
These things, they mean business.
Jumping chimney, are you trying to scare us, Michelle?
Well, why do you think they mean business, Michelle?
They sound like...
You're right there, Michelle. They certainly sound as though they were in earnest.
But what are we going to do, Uncle Jim?
Nothing, Betty, so far as they're concerned. We're going to see the head of the constabulary force. Even if this war dance is a prelude to something else, it isn't aimed at us.
I don't see anyone around except the warriors. Where are all the women and children, Michelle?
Women and children stay in house while men have war dance.
Look, Uncle Jim, they see us. They're watching us out of the corner of their eyes as they dance around.
I hope they don't think we're the answer to their prayer, Jack.
They think we're the answer to something. Look at them. They're coming toward us now.
And listen to that tom-tom. It's beating louder than ever.
Boy, it's a regular snake dance.
But gosh, old hemlock check. That snake dance is coming this way.
And look at the leader. The one in front with two big horns sticking out of his head. He's brandishing his spear at us. Oh, Uncle Jim, what are we going to do?
Just keep on walking, Betty. Don't let them know that you're afraid.
Well, they can just look at me and tell I'm afraid.
Keep your head, Betty. Whatever they're up to, it has nothing to do with us. And besides, the constabulary's in the village.
This is probably just symbolic of something, Betty.
And you don't have to guess what it's symbolic of, Jack. Look at the way they brandish those spears.
Look, they're making a circle around us. Listen to them.
See, Betty, they're not going to harm us. They're going to do a war dance around us.
Look, Uncle Jim, this large shack here has got a sign on it. Why, it's the headquarters of the constabulary.
Well, that's where we're going, Jack.
But how can we get there? We're surrounded by the war dance.
Crickets, they're
They're pointing their spears at us. They're coming for us.
Easy, Billy. Yeah, they're backing up now. It's all a part of the war dance.
There's a constabulary lieutenant coming out of his headquarters. He's speaking to the leader of this dance. I imagine they leave us now.
They're moving back, Uncle Jim.
They don't look as though they wanted to leave us. Look at them. They're shaking their spears in our faces.
Hey, Willikins, maybe this dance is just symbolic or something, but just the same, I'm glad the constabulary are here.
And here comes the lieutenant now. He doesn't look surprised to see us.
He looks good to me. I like the way he smiles. I hope he speaks English.
All of the constabulary officers speak English, Jack. There he comes.
How do you do, senores? I am glad to see you.
We're certainly glad to see you. We weren't quite sure whether they were just having a war dance or whether they're in earnest.
Unfortunately, they are in earnest. Almost.
See, Uncle Jim, I knew those Igorumps were just having a good time.
Don't misunderstand me. You are not in any danger.
Then why did they surround us?
Whenever a stranger arrives during a war dance, he always represents the enemy. In this case, the real enemy is up in those mountains you see over there. Now, what can I do for you? You look as though you've had some trouble.
We've had all sorts of trouble. May we go into your headquarters and talk?
Certainly. Just follow me, senor...
My name is Fairfield.
Just follow me, senor Fairfield.
Thank you. Come on, everyone.
Those Igorotes are still working themselves into a frenzy, Billy. I'm glad they're not after us.
No, I'll say. Watch these steps. They look awfully reckoning.
Bamboo steps are stronger than they look, Billy.
We had better go inside. Then the war dance will not interrupt us. Speak to her, if you please.
Oh, you've got quite an office here, Lieutenant.
It is not very good. It is only temporary. But there are enough chairs for us. Sit down and tell me what you want.
Oh, thank you. In the first place, our car was wrecked in a landslide on the other side of the mountain. Can we engage some men to go back to it and bring us our clothes and equipment?
I will have it on today.
We came up here to find a Sergeant Romero. He's just come up from Mindanao. He knows something about a missing Professor Loring, who may be held captive by the natives. I want to talk to him.
That is odd, Senor Fairfield. Unfortunately, Sergeant Romero is missing himself.
You say Romero's missing? How is that?
You may not know it, Senor Fairfield, but the mountains to the north and west of us are inhabited by the Guians. They are the fiercest headhunters in the Philippines.
Yeah, so I've heard.
We have stamped out the headhunting among most of the Igorots, but never subdued the Guians. A short time ago, a party of Guians attacked this village and took away several heads.
Jack, did you hear that?
Quiet, Billy. Let's get the whole story.
The attackers made their escape to the mountains. The local tribe is a well-behaved tribe of Igorots, but they decided to go after the Guians and get a few heads of their own in revenge.
But they haven't gone yet, have they?
No, Senor Fairfield. I was sent up here with Sergeant Romero and a platoon of the constabulary to prevent it. I promised the local tribe that we would get the guilty men and punish them. They would stay here.
Well, that was quite a promise, Lieutenant.
It was the only way I could prevent a general uprising. I sent Sergeant Romero and a squad of men into the mountains to bring back the guilty headhunters. I myself stayed here with the rest of my men to prevent the Igorots from going on the warpath.
Then that war dance we saw was in preparation for going on the warpath?
That is right. They have that war dance every day to remind me.
But what do they want to remind you of?
They remind me that if Sergeant Romero does not return with the guilty headhunters, then they will go after him.
But what about Sergeant Romero, Lieutenant?
A messenger came back today. He and his men are camped on Mount Pulosan.
Well, I guess we'll just have to wait here until Romero comes back.
I don't think so, Billy. I think we'll go up to Mount Pulosan and see Romero.
Do you mean that, Senor Fairfield? Will you really go up?
I think so, if it's not too far. We have no horses, of course.
Oh, but I will lend you horses. They are small Filipino horses, but they will take you there. I would be glad to lend you horses.
Listen to that, Billy. He's awfully anxious to have us go up there.
I'll say he is. I wonder why.
You're very kind, Lieutenant.
No, Senor Fairfield, it is you who will be doing me the kindness.
Well, how's that?
The Guians are afraid of white men. If you and your friends go up in the mountains to Sergeant Romero, They will think that you have come to find the guilty headhunters. It will make it easier for Romero to find the guilty man.
Suppose we help Romero to find the guilty man. Suppose we return here. How will we get back to Manila?
I will see that you get back, Senor Fairfield. If you help Sergeant Romero, I shall lend you my own car.
But there's no road back. The landslide destroyed it.
There is a trail from here to the ocean. It is a poor trail, but my car will make it. There's a good ocean road back to Manila. If you will go up to the mountain to Romero, I will lend you horses. I will take you back to Manila. I will do anything you want.
Very well, Lieutenant. We'll go up to Romero. But I won't promise to do anything except talk to him.
Do you hear that, Jack? We're going to get mixed up with the headhunters, the real headhunters. Boy, oh boy, what a time we're going to have.
Hey, that's a mighty risky thing Uncle Jim is planning to do. But he must know what he's doing. After all, perhaps the headhunters are safer than Chapato and Blackbeard. But did you hear those Igorotes as they danced their war dance? Are they going to stay quietly in their village when Uncle Jim and Jack and the others go up into the mountains? Why, anything might happen. You certainly won't want to miss it, so listen in at this same time tomorrow to another thrilling episode of The Country of the Headhunters, with Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. Remember, you'll want Wheaties to give yourself a genuine breakfast of champions in the morning. A big bowl full of Wheaties with plenty of milk and your favorite kind of fruit. That's a real athlete's training breakfast with a flavor you ought to go for in a great big way. I hope you're getting lots of Wheaties from your grocer.
Have you tried Wheaties? They're whole wheat with all the bran. Won't you try Wheaties?
This is Franklin McCormick saying goodbye until tomorrow for General Mills, makers of Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions. We have just presented another episode of Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy.
Food in the land. Wave the fight for Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand. Ever shall our team be champion.
Here at the Friday Night Show from July 29th, year 2005, was our special guest, Kim Bragg. How about that? Kim Bragg, the beautiful Kim Bragg, is our producer engineer tonight. She's running the board.
Thank you, Walter.
Well, John Redman is left, I guess.
Yeah.
And
I upgraded in terms of talent.
What?
I went with a prettier producer. So
good for you. Well, I know Kim did a great job for you up in Seattle.
I could not have done it without her.
So she's got a permanent job now.
Yep.
Thanks. Can you hear me?
Can you hear Kim?
Sure.
Oh, hi, Frank.
Hi, Kim. How are you?
Oh, just fine. Walden's wearing me out.
Well, and I understand you two are going back to Newark.
Yes, we are. We're going to broadcast live. They want us up there, so that's great.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm going to hold off saying anything, but I think you two are becoming an item.
Hey, don't let my husband hear that.
Well, he's gone tonight, right?
No, he's in bed.
Good. he's probably listening some.
I hope so. It can be fun. I have adopted Kim as my big sister, so I'm thinking my big sister to meet my surrogate mom, so I'm going to have Kim beat Kitty Callan here when we go back to Newark, New Jersey.
Now, is Kitty Callan going to be at Newark?
She lives in Englewood, so I don't think they have planned to invite her yet. I haven't heard.
Like Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey?
Well, no. There's Englewood Cliff and there's Englewood, New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
Englewood is where all the music talent settled in the 50s. For two reasons. One, the tax structure was so bad in New York, so all the music talent moved to New Jersey to get away from the state income tax. And B, that's where Glenn Miller's accountant settled. So a lot of time he was handling everybody's book. And that was his hometown and everybody settled. So Kitty lived near, Tony Bennett and all those people. That's where a lot of them settled in.
They all lived back there.
Yes.
Of course, they're on the road a lot anyway. It wouldn't make any difference where they lived, would it?
True, but nowadays, as a lot of them are not working as much,
That's where they stayed. And it's about a half hour from the George Washington Bridge. And that's how you get into Manhattan to go see the shows and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So, anyway, I'm looking forward to take Kim back there and have him get to meet Kitty in person. So, it'll be fun.
Well, that's great. Now, Kim, you've never been back there, have you? Well, I guess she hasn't.
Yeah, Kim met Bill back there in 1997.
Right. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I met Bill.
Ah.
I had to go back and squirt the bird to make him shut up. I'm sorry.
Kim is trying to take care of the animals around here.
Now, do you still have Big Bird?
Oh, yeah, we have Big Bird, and the noise, I don't know if you've heard it in the background, we also have a big white cockatoo that gets upset if he doesn't have attention, so I think he should be a show business bird. He wants all the attention and laughter and applause.
Well.
And his name is Elvis. So
Elvis.
Now, are his wings clipped so he can't fly?
Yeah, they need to be trimmed up, but we keep them... Both of them clip so they don't, because it's dangerous, really. That's him.
You can hear him now.
Yeah. Yep. It's dangerous to let them fly around the house, especially with all these wires, but they can really get hurt, so I don't believe in letting them fly around the house. A lot of people do, but they, you know, if they have opened area, it's okay. But I'd rather have them where I know where they are and see them.
Well, you know, at my mother's house, Los Angeles, for several years, in the backyard was a big tangerine tree. And several years during the summer when the tangerines were growing, a big white cockatoo used to come over every day or so and eat the tangerines. And, of course, you can't catch them. Once they get out, you can't catch them.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to somebody and I said, you know, there's a cockatoo around here. And they said, oh, yeah, these birds get out and... And they can live on their own pretty well for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
I heard that, and different times I'll see pictures of them. But I always thought that hawks and stuff would get them. But I guess they're pretty smart to stay out of too many open areas where the birds of prey can get them.
Yeah, I think they are pretty smart. Anyway, it was I tried to figure a way to catch them. Because I know they're worth $400 or $500, I think.
Oh, they're more. They're like $1,000.
Are they?
Uh-huh.
God, I could have retired.
Yeah.
I could have given up this radio business.
That's right. You could have retired on a bird.
Well, hey, with my bird brain, it would match with the bird, and we'd do an act, I guess.
That's right.
But I never caught it, and it didn't come back last year, but there were no... There was no fruit on the tree last year for some reason. I don't know why.
Mm.
So maybe this year I'll look for it. At any rate, you'll have fun in New Jersey. And Jay Hickerson does such a great job and has for 29 years. This is the 30th anniversary, I understand it. And it's just going to be great.
Yeah,
yep, and going to be his last. He's stepping down. He's moving to Florida. So there's a change in command involved, and so we're going to go ahead and take the opportunity and see what happens next year. I already know Seattle will have theirs next June. So, Kim, put that on the calendar. You and I will be going to see Seattle.
Walden and I are on the road again to start playing the Bing Crosby music.
There you go.
Oh, that's great.
So that's going to be fun. And... Well, I guess we'll have to decide where we're going to have the family reunion next year. I have a pretty good chance, I bet, we'll have it down here again.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll be on the road next year, everybody. I'm sorry we did not have a live show, but we took John out for dinner and had a nice casual dinner and wanted to say goodbye to John Redman before he hit the road. Generally, John doesn't eat breakfast. He likes to get on the road Friday morning. So it was the last opportunity for Kim, Bill, and I to see John.
Now, where does John live?
He lives in Decatur, Illinois, and 750 miles away. So he was planning to do 500 miles today and be in Missouri, and then try to get home by 2 o'clock tomorrow, pick up the mail, record the Saturday, Sunday night show, and go to a train show. So that's what John's planning to do this weekend.
He's going to be busy. He probably has a some kind of a satellite in his car, so he's listening to us.
Well, there was a running gag. Kim got it going here. I brought down, Frank, over 100 cassette tapes and 300 CDs.
Right.
Mostly Bing Crosby, Phil Harris, and Bob Hope to take care of Kim and John Redman. I just got my hand on some, for example, folks. Bing Crosby and Rosemary Cooney had a daily show on CBS from 1960 to 62.
Right, they had a 15-minute show, as I remember.
And I just came across 74 CDs right off the Masters, and also came up with, Bing also had a 15-minute daily show from 1954 to 56. And I came up with those CDs and then a bunch of the Kraft Music Halls. So Bill decided to buy a brand new CD recorder. So for the last, since a week ago Friday, Kim has been making CD labels, cassette labels, to try to catch up. That way he can have access to almost everything. And then John will take it home and have it transferred on the reel-to-reel before I ever see it again. So hopefully my masters will return from John, and the people will keep enjoying the stuff on Saturday. But we were teasing John, because he was so far behind, we ought to get him a portable CD burner. That way, while we were traveling, visiting all these sites, he could be making CDs in the back seat of Bill's truck.
Oh, that's funny. You know, I remember the Rosemary Clooney Bing Crosby show, and I guess it was one of the ones you're talking about was from, what, 53 to 56?
Well, that's his 15-minute show, but the one that was Bing and Rosie were from 60 to 62. I think Buddy Cole.
Was that a 15-minute show?
It was 20 minutes.
Oh.
But it was almost 15, I guess, depending on how they... Remember, they probably did the news, and probably once the news was done, they went on with 20 minutes or so. But again, the copy I have was probably, who knows.
I remember going to one of those shows. They used to tape the shows at Columbia Square in one of the little studios. It wasn't an audience show.
No.
And I was there doing something, and they said, Clooney and Crosby are recording. And I went into the studio, and I was there with the other people, and Clooney was rehearsing. And in about 5 minutes, Bing came in, and they were ready to do the show. And I guess they taped one or two shows every day. And...
This is a show called Mr. and Mrs. Blanding with Cary Grant and Bessie Drake.
Flying's the way to travel, and the way to fly is TWA, Trans World Airlines. Presenting Cary Grant and Betsy Drake as Mr. and Mrs. Blanding in a new series based on Eric Hudgens' best-selling novels, Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House and Blanding's Way. Did you know that approximately every 3 minutes around the clock, a TWA Skyliner is making a landing at one of the airports along its 32,000-mile route?
You love to fly high up in the sky. You ride the airways, starry stairways,
smoother and swifter, flying the way.
And the best way to fly, TWA.
Mr. and Mrs. Blanding, starring Cary Grant and Betsy Drake. And now let's take a trip to Lansdale, Connecticut, and look in on the Blandings family. It is early morning. Everyone is asleep, and the day starts, as it does in every other house, with... Jim has set the alarm a little early this morning so that he can get up and do his exercises before Muriel awakens. So at the sound of the alarm, the bedclothes are thrown back, the bed springs creak, the alarm is shut off, and we hear...
Jim, time to get up.
A day has started in the Blandings household. The children get dressed, the table is set, the coffee is poured, the orange juice prepared. All is hustle and bustle. And we hear Muriel say...
Jim, time to get up.
And so breakfast goes on uneventfully until, as they're reading the morning paper over their second cup of coffee, Muriel suddenly gives a start and says...
Jim Blandings, what does this ad in the paper mean?
What ad, dear?
You know what ad, this one.
Well, let's see. Wanted girl to work as waitress at summer resort. Must be respectable until Labor Day. I'll tell you, it's all in the way you read it.
Jim, I'm not referring to that ad.
No?
No, I'm talking about this one. Estimates wanted to repair barn. Call J.H. Blandings, Lansdale 431. Jim, don't tell me you're still thinking of repairing that old barn of ours. Bill Cole says that now is a highly impractical time to do any building.
Bill Cole? Bill Cole is a lawyer. What does he know about such things?
He knows what a fool those contractors made of you when you were building this house.
Muriel, I resent that.
It's true, isn't it?
Yeah, but I resent it. Anyway, they won't do it this time. If their bids are too high, I'll do the work myself.
You?
But don't look so surprised. I know how to pound nails. I can use my head.
That's not the best way. When do you plan to begin this project?
Today. I'll work every weekend on it until it's finished. And when it is...
We'll call our grandchildren out to look at it.
Muriel, do you have anything better to do than to stand out here and watch me?
Yes, but I want to see this or I won't believe it. And I may not believe it then.
Thank you for the vote of confidence. And hand me another nail. This one got bent.
Here you are.
Oh, dear. Bent this one, too.
Here's another one. Here's a bent one. Perhaps it'll straighten out.
Please, stop being funny and hand me a heavier nail.
All right, dear. This one's practically a railroad spike.
Oh! My finger.
Darling, did you have an accident?
No, of course not. I hit myself just for a lark. Come on, look at my finger. Look. It's bleeding, I think.
Let's see.
Better put some iodine on it. Can't take chances.
No, I suppose not. Here. This is good stuff. Really stings.
It does? Well, maybe I don't need...
Now, put out your finger.
But Muriel...
There we are.
Ow! Muriel, you enjoyed that.
Not too much. Anyhow, what did you want me to do? Kiss it and make it well?
Well, I'd like that better.
But it would never do. Kissing spreads germs.
Oh, now that's a ridiculous rumor circulated by old maids who aren't circulating.
Notice?
Now run along. Let me get to work. Harder work than I thought. Oh, well, only way to get it done without costing a fortune.
Oh, Jim, Mr. Kraft is here in answer to your ad.
Huh?
Hello, Mr. Blandings.
Oh, hello, Mr. Kraft. I'm sorry, but I've decided to do the job myself, as you can see.
Yes.
Jim, what in the world are you doing?
What do you mean, what am I doing?
Well, for one thing, you're using the saw upside down.
Well, there's a woman for you, eh, Mr. Kraft? Muriel, I want to saw the underside of this board, so I turn the saw over. Well, that's the way we do it.
Why don't you just turn the board over?
Oh, well, you can do it that way, too.
Are you sure you don't want me to contract the job, Mr. B?
Definitely not. I can do it myself.
Okay, but I think I ought to be able to handle the job for somewhere in the neighborhood of $1,500.
I'm not interested.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Mind if I drop back from time to time? I get more jobs that way. Oh, hi, Miss Blandings. How's every little thing?
Oh.
Is that the way you pound nails? Mm. Bend a lot of them, I bet. Why don't you hold that hammer near the end? It might help.
Mr. Kraft.
Yeah, Mr. Blandings?
Come here.
Like this?
No, closer.
Here?
Closer yet. That's fine. Now, I'd like to ask you a question.
Okay.
How would your wife like it if you came home for dinner with a hammer sticking out of your head?
Hi, Mr. Blandings. That stringer got enough support?
Yep.
Hope it don't sag.
Nope.
Main thing is she's strong enough.
Yep.
What's the matter? Got your mouth full of nails again?
Nope.
Well, what is it full of?
Swear words. Frankly, this remodeling is taking longer than I intended.
Well, just say the word, Mr. Blandings. Be glad to take over. Yes, sir. 2,500 ought to do it.
2,500? But you said it would be in the neighborhood of 1,500.
Sorry, just moved to a better neighborhood.
Jim, hadn't you better call Mr. Kraft?
Mr. Kraft? I wouldn't hire that money-hungry monster to drill a hole in a lifesaver.
But Mr. Kraft warned me that...
Muriel, please, have a little faith.
But you're liable to knock down that joist.
Does it occur to you that may be what I intend to do?
But it's the fulcrum on which the stress of this side of the building is balanced.
That's why it's important to repair it.
But you can't knock it out to repair it.
No?
No, you have to shore it up first.
Why?
Why?
Yes, why? So I thought, Mr. Kraft, I'd better call you out on the job.
I thought you would. Sam, you got those figures ready yet?
Got them, Mr. Kraft. Here's my estimate.
May I see it?
No. Sam, aren't you a little low on the overhead sprinkler installation?
Overhead sprinklers? What are they for?
Cuts down your fire insurance. You'll go for that, won't you?
Oh, well, yes, I guess so, yeah.
They always do. And now about the aluminum stall gates.
There will be no aluminum stall gates.
Oh, fair enough. Then we can put that money in on the fluorescent lighting.
What fluorescent lighting?
Mr. Blandings, you can't milk cows in the dark. Oh, you can, but you waste a lot of time fumbling.
Now, just a minute, you two. Mr. Kraft, I called you out here to do a simple repair job on a barn. Now, just what is your figure for the job?
In round figures, $4,500.
Mr. Kraft, I'm afraid we don't understand each other at all.
Well, why, you want a good sound barn, don't you?
Of course, but...
If a thing's worth doing, it's worth doing right, I always say.
That's what I always say.
But, Mr. Kraft, $4,500.
It isn't the cost, it's the results, I always say.
That's what I always say.
You may stop saying it right now. Great Scott, at that price, I might as well build a new barn.
Exactly. That's just what I was going to say.
Yes, but the cost.
Hardly more than to rebuild. Now, for instance, tearing down the old one is a salvage job. I guess that should bring about, 500.
I hadn't thought of that.
Oh, you gotta figure everything, I always say.
Is that what you always say, Sam?
I do.
Good boy. All right, Mr. Kraft, tell you what we'll do. You tear down the old barn. It's not worth fixing, I guess. And then we'll talk about building a new one.
All right, it's a deal.
Jim, are those men about through tearing down that barn?
They're hauling the last of it away right now.
Oh, that's a relief. They've driven over my petunia beds at least a dozen times. Jim, are you sure you're doing the wise thing?
What do you mean?
Well, this building a new barn. We don't need it.
Of course we don't. So why build one?
Jim, Mr. Kraft thinks you're going to build a new one.
Aha. But I'm a little too smart for Mr. Kraft this time. He stuck me on the bids, but now the shoe is on the other foot.
Are you sure? He's awfully clever.
Well, don't you think I'm clever?
Darling, you're my husband.
Well, it does not preclude the possibility of my doing something clever once in a while. Oh, here comes Mr. Kraft up the walk now. Watch this. Oh, Mr. Kraft and Sam.
Howdy.
All through?
Oh, yes, just hauled the last load out. Hello, Mrs. Blandings.
Hello, gentlemen.
Now, I guess we ought to talk about the new barn, eh? No time like the present, I always say.
Well, Mr. Kraft...
There's more. Now, Sam.
That's what I always say.
Now, go ahead, Muriel.
You tell him, dear.
All right. Mr. Kraft, I have decided not to build the new barn just yet.
Not to build it?
No. In fact, I may never build it. I didn't say I would, you know.
No?
So... I guess the only thing we have to do is to settle up on the salvage from the old barn, eh?
Guess so.
Fine. I believe $500 was the price agreed upon, right?
Right.
Oh, this is where you get a surprise, Muriel. It's going to be a present for you.
Why, Jim?
You don't have to pay me now, Mr. Blandings. I can send you a bill.
Oh, I just... I pay you?
Well, naturally.
That's your best offer?
Well, you didn't think I was going to pay you to haul that old barn away, did you?
You said it would be worth something for salvage.
That's why I was only charging you $500.
I think you can put it back, Jim.
What?
The shoe that was on the other foot. This letter airmail, Dad'll get it tomorrow.
My business would be lost without airmail service.
And airmail's so reasonable. Just 6 cents a letter.
Yes, most everyone agrees that an airmail letter can do great things. Cover thousands of miles. Cover 'em fat. And at only 6 cents a letter, it's quite a bargain. But perhaps you hear some people say that this bargain is possible only because of government subsidies to the airline. Well, what they really mean is that the United States Post Office Department has, in effect, said to the scheduled airlines, look, you can do this job cheaper than the government can. So you carry the airmail, and we'll give you enough pay to help you develop a great national air transportation system. And when your passenger and cargo services are paying their own way, we'll expect you to carry the airmail at a much lower cost. Well, friends, TWA is holding to that agreement. TWA, like all self-supporting domestic airlines, receives no subsidy for carrying the mails in this country. And what's more, 85% of all airmail and all the air parcel post carried by all the scheduled airlines is flown without the benefit of a subsidy. And so you see, when you put an airmail stamp on a letter, or when you send a package by fast air parcel post, you're really getting the benefit of a bargain. A mail service that can't be duplicated for speed and economy. All made possible by the vision and foresight of the men of the U.S. Postal Service and the cooperation of the scheduled airlines of the United States. And now the second act of Mr. and Mrs. Blanding, starring Cary Grant and Betsy Drake.
Have you ever seen that famous statue, The Thinker? Well, at the moment, Jim Blandings is seated in the living room, and he looks as though he were posing for a new statue called The Brooder. Over and over in his mind, he is chewing the words uttered by Mr. Kraft.
I don't pay you, Blandings. You pay me.
Yes, Mr. Blandings is chewing the words, but he's having a very rough time swallowing them.
Jim.
Huh?
Jim. What's the matter, dear? Cat got your tongue?
No, Mr. Kraft has my tongue. My tongue, my wallet, my shoelaces, and my shorts.
Jim, it's not that serious. Just pay Mr. Kraft the $500 and drop the matter. Don't keep banging your head against the wall.
I am not banging my head against the wall. I'm sitting here quietly and thinking.
Oh, and what are you thinking of doing?
Banging my head against the wall. Instead of getting $500, I pay him $500. How could I make such a mistake? Is it possible that I'm that stupid, that idiotic, that... Muriel, I would thank you to stop nodding your head.
I hadn't realized I was.
Well, my $500 is gone, and so is the barn. From now on, we just have to get along without one.
Oh, don't worry, dear. If worse comes to worst, we can always sleep in the house like people.
I wouldn't build a barn now if they paid me.
They won't, dear.
Then I won't build one, and that's that. Oh, now, who can that be?
It's probably Mr. Dabney from the bank. I forgot to tell you, he called that he was coming over.
Mr. Dabney? What did he want?
It was something about the barn. He seemed very angry. Coming! Well, hello, Mr. Dabney. Come right in.
Good morning.
Hello, Mr. Dabney.
Mr. Blandings, you tore down our barn.
My barn.
Mr. Kraft's barn.
Mr. Kraft's barn?
He just left here 15 minutes ago, dragging his barn behind him.
Mr. Blandings, our bank has a mortgage on your property. Part of that property was the barn. You had no right to dispose of it without our consent.
I did not intend to get rid of it. It became necessary in the process of building a new one.
Oh, if you're building a new one, there's no problem.
I'm not.
You said you were.
He was, but he's not. Because the money that was isn't. So how can he if there isn't what there was?
I may not be able to repeat that to the board of directors.
Well, it's quite simple, Mr. Dabney. I destroyed the barn thinking I might build a new one. I just decided against it.
Mr. Blandings, do you remember page 7 of the mortgage, clause 3, paragraph 8, section E, part 5, line 8? Of Amendment 6, Note 12, under Article F.
Mr. Dabney, if I stopped long enough to read the mortgage, I wouldn't need to build a house. I could stay at the old lady's home.
Well, you have destroyed property without the bank's consent. I shall be forced to invoke Article F.
What is Article F?
According to Article F, unless you rebuild the barn immediately, your entire mortgage is due at once.
Now, see here, Mr. Dabney, you can't bully and coerce me. I won't be bluffed with a bunch of legal gibberish. I intend to discuss this with my attorney.
Please do.
I shall. Hello. Circle 49929 in New York, please. I wouldn't build a barn now if half the cars in the country were left out in the rain.
Jim never was a milk drinker.
Hello? Oh, Mr. Cole, please. Bill, this is Jim. Guess who's here? Mr. Dabney. And you know what he tried to tell me? Said I couldn't tear down a barn on my own property because of the mortgage. I'll talk to you later. Mr. Dabney?
Yes, Mr. Blandings.
What color barn would you like? Good morning, Mr. Quince.
Morning. Take that wheelbarrow up there, George.
All right, Mr. Quince.
You know, I sort of thought we'd have the cement all poured by this morning.
Well, I thought so, too. I thought so, and you thought so, but it ain't.
Well, I guess you have to expect a few delays. I figured you ought to have it finished by tonight.
I figure we ought to. By tonight.
Good.
I figure we ought to, and you figure we ought to, but we ain't. Having trouble.
What trouble can you have with a foundation? You dig a hole and pour the cement.
exactly what we did. We dug a hole and we poured the cement.
Mr. Quince, there is no cement in that hole.
That give you an idea of the trouble we got?
What are you trying to say?
Mr. Blandings, our hole has a hole in it.
Well, now, that's impossible.
I say it's impossible, and you say it's impossible. And so far, we've poured three loads down the impossible. Must have hit an old well or tunnel.
Well, how much more cement will it take?
Depends on what's at the other end of that hole.
Oh, hi, Mr. Blandings.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wretch. Fine crew of carpenters here.
Best five in the country.
I can tell that. They look very competent sitting there on the lawn.
Oh, we can't go any further till the plumber finishes.
Well, where in heaven's name is the plumber?
Mr. Blandings, I'm a carpenter. I don't ask the plumber any questions. I don't even look at what he does. Why, if I so much as point my finger at a pipe, I have to pay dues in three more unions.
Never mind, I'll find him. Mr. Beasley! Mr. Beasley!
Jim, what is it you want?
Muriel, have you seen the plumber?
The what, dear?
The plumber. The man with a friend. Have you seen him?
Oh, you mean the nice man who offered to fix my faucet.
Oh, great balls of fire. You didn't take him off the job for that.
But, dear, he offered to do it free.
Well, while he's fixing that faucet free, I've got six carpenters waiting. It's costing me $56 an hour. Muriel, get that plumber out of the barn.
I can't.
Why not?
He's gone.
Gone where?
Where they always go, back to the shop for a washer.
Hi, Mr. and Mrs. Blanding.
Hi, Sam. Where's Mr. Rex?
Oh, he's in town today. I'm taking over.
Well, good. How are things going?
Oh, about like you'd expect. You know the building game. Nail it together, then wait to see if it falls apart. Hey, Mr. Kraft left with the blueprints. What do you want I should do with them lintels?
What lintels?
The lintels between the lally columns.
Those lintels.
Yeah. You want I should rabbit them or not?
I thought the barn was for cows.
Oh, please, Muriel, I'll handle this. Rabbit is a carpenter's term. I don't think you need to rabbit the lintels.
Okay, you're the doctor. Hey, Joe!
Yeah.
Jim, why did you say that? You don't even know what he's talking about.
Muriel, when you're as experienced as I am at the building game, you realize it's always cheaper to say no than yes.
Oh. Yes, Sam, what do you want?
If you got any of them rabbited lintels set up, rip them out.
Okay.
Rip them out. Oh, wait a minute. Oh.
There you are, Mr. Blandings. Of course, it'll take 2 days to put them back up again.
Muriel, if I ever open my mouth again, will you do one thing?
What's that?
Rabbit me right in the lintels.
Mr. Blandings, you owe us $350 for your completion bond.
Mr. Blandings, that 220-volt switch will be another $90.
Mr. Blandings, we'll need another 100 for replacing those rabbited lintels.
Mr. Blandings, those water troughs will take an extra 200.
Mr. Blandings, stop!
Gentlemen, I have tried to be patient. I have tried to be understanding. But the end has come. The well has run dry. The lamb has been shorn. The screwball is unscrewed. I don't care how fine a barn I have or whether it gets completed or not. All I want is that you go away. All of you. Now. And if I don't see a contractor again for 99 years, it'll seem like the pause that refreshes.
But Mr. Blanding.
Yes.
I just came to tell you the barn is finished.
Cary Grant and Betsy Drake will be back with us in just a moment. Friends, did you know that TWA is the only airline that goes all the way across the U.S. and overseas to Europe, the Middle East, and India? Yes, you can board a TWA plane in 60 cities in the United States and fly to London, Paris, Rome, and other world centers abroad. And say, just ask anyone who travels a lot, and you'll find out that this one airline service is mighty important. It means you buy only one ticket. You enjoy the same courteous service all the way, and you don't have to worry about complicated connections. So fly the finest. Fly TWA, Trans World Airlines. Next time you plan a trip, for business or pleasure, see your friendly travel agent or call your nearest TWA office.
You love to fly high up in the sky. You ride the airwaves, starry stairways,
smoother and swifter, flying the way.
And the best way to fly, TWA.
Here again are Cary Grant and Betsy Drake.
Muriel, I'm already showing a profit on the new bond.
That's wonderful, dear, but how?
I made a deal to print Fly TWA in big letters on the side of the bond. And then in small letters, I'll print to 60 cities in the United States and 20 world centers abroad.
But what about the profit?
Well, they pay me $240 a year for that.
That's very clever, dear.
Well, that's just the beginning. With the $240, I'm going into the poultry business. I made a deal to buy 200 chickens and a rooster.
200 chickens and a rooster?
Yeah. Why, that barn will make us independent.
Not half as independent as that rooster.
Good night, dear.
Good night, everyone.
Tune in next week, same time, same station, for Mr. and Mrs. Blanding, starring Cary Grant and Betsy Drake. Brought to you by Trans World Airlines. Across the U.S. and overseas, you can depend on TWA. Betsy Drake appears through the courtesy of RKO Pictures and David O. Selznick. Watch for the next Selznick release, Gypsy Blood, starring Jennifer Jones and produced in Technicolor. Mr. Kraft was played by Jim Backus. Also in our cast were Dave Wook, Leo Clary, Ken Christie, Earl Ross, and Earl Lee. Tonight's show is written by Charles Stewart and Mark Lockman, directed by Warren Lewis, and transcribed in Hollywood. Don Stanley speaking.
That was Mr. and Mrs. Blanding. I'm Warren Hughes, and may the good Lord Jesus Christ bless you. And this is Yesterday, USA.
Yesterday, USA. Superstation.
And thank you, Walden Hughes. And hello, everybody. Welcome to tape number 7 for the 2-week period that began on the 3rd of July. And happy birthday to America. Well, nothing special going on during this 2-week period. No more big live broadcasts from the convention. It's just back to the same old, same old. And you know what? A lot of people don't realize what the same old is. That's 31 personalities. That's right. We've got 31 on-air volunteers that will entertain you during this 2-week period. We're going to bring to you 14 live broadcasts. That's one every night. And when you count up all the program material that you're going to hear during this 2-week period that began on July the 3rd, well, it'll come to more than 60 hours. That means it's going to take you about 30 hours per week to hear everything we do just one time. If you'd like to re-listen and enjoy it once again, well, you'll need to give us some more time. This is what we'll be giving you during this 2-week period. What will you be giving to us to help us keep on keeping on? It's free of charge and there are no commercials. So we are dependent on you and we will live or we will die by your continued support. Visit the website yesterdayusa.com.